So from City Hall to the State House, legislators on the COVID-19 Oversight Committee held their second hearing yesterday, which once again featured some tense moments between Governor Baker and the members of the legislature. WBUR's Steve Brown is covering that story and joins us now. Steve, welcome back.
Thanks, Tiziana.
So this is the second time, Steve. The last time lawmakers had some strong criticisms of Governor Baker's handling of the rollout. Did you hear the same kind of themes yesterday?
Yeah, I did. Keep in mind, when folks who are eligible aren't able to secure an appointment to get vaccinated, many pick up the phone or fire off an email to their state legislator. So lawmakers are getting an earful from their constituents about this process. So many legislators are also concerned about the equity in vaccine distribution. They point to stats that show that while 24% of the white population has been fully vaccinated, only 4% of Latinx population are fully vaccinated. They want to know why. Now, Governor Baker acknowledged that more does need to be done, but quickly pointed to the overall numbers, which show that on a per capita basis, Massachusetts leads most other states. But lawmakers still pushed back on that. Now, here's Arlington State Senator Cindy Friedman. She's the vice chair of the committee, who at one point said that lawmakers and the governor are living in two different worlds.
And I guess your understanding of what's going on and my understanding of what's going on are really different, because I just keep hearing, how are we going to get to those people who, you know, work, who are the dishwashers, who are the Mrs. Jones, who is afraid to leave her house, who are people who don't have transportation, are people who work during the day and aren't open during the sites. These are the people that we keep hearing from.
Now, Senator Friedman was clearly frustrated by what she's been hearing from the administration, as were many of her colleagues on the committee.
Something that came up since the last hearing was this fact that for years the state had been planning, spent millions planning and setting up infrastructure for a public health emergency vaccines. But then when this rollout began, the governor abandoned that and mostly turned to private companies. Did that come up, and how did that play out?
Yeah, it was. The local boards of health are basically saying, hey, what about us? We're here and we're ready and we have these plans in place. Now, here's Dawn Carmen Sebor. She's the executive director of the Mass Health Officers Association, testifying at yesterday's hearing about exactly that.
The plans have been tested and should have been and still should be used as a basis by which to distribute vaccine in the Commonwealth. The command center, however, has not chosen to use these plans. The administration instead has spent hundreds of millions more taxpayer dollars to hire consultants and private organizations to run its clinics while ignoring the plans and capabilities available from local health departments.
Now, Sebor told the legislators the inconsistent, ever-changing messages from the command center around the availability of vaccine at local health departments caused unnecessary confusion, fear, and increased vaccine hesitancy among residents.
So when the governor took the chair, how did he respond to that criticism, Steve?
Yeah, he said the local boards of health are not being completely frozen out and that many are participating in regional collaboratives. He defended his decisions and again compared the rollout in Massachusetts to other large population states.
But I think the change we made is also borne out by the fact that we're the number one state in the country across almost every measure that the CDC keeps track of for states that have more than 4 million people. We have a long way to go and a ton of work to do, and I wouldn't begin to say for a minute we don't. But I do believe, given all the issues associated with supply, the nature of the rollout, how fast it has to happen, and how people needed to manage the product itself, we made the right decision.
Now, the governor did hint that once the supply of that single-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine ramps up, the locals will be playing a larger role. But on that supply front, the governor had some discouraging news. The feds told governors earlier this week that instead of the states getting 4 to 6 million J&J doses this week, as they thought they would, they'll only be getting 2 million. And that's not just for Massachusetts. That's for all the states.
Okay, I want to stop there then, because that caught my attention, because last week when the governor announced all the different phases of when people could get vaccinated, one of the things he said was that he'd heard from the federal government more optimistic projections on J&J. Were you surprised to hear that yesterday?
Yeah, it's kind of a bonus. At first they were told, no, you're not going to get any Johnson & Johnson in the month of March. So they wrote it off. Okay, we're not getting any in March. And then last week, go, no, okay, you're going to get some. Here's a little bit. And then they, oh, you're going to get a little bit more. No, you're only getting 2 million instead of 6 million. So again, those numbers are jumping up and down. Originally, they weren't expecting anything until April 1st. Then they were told, okay, you know, you're gonna get some in March, so you plan for that. And now it's well, not as much. So they're getting a lot of the back and forth from the feds as well.
Steve, in a sentence, what are you going to watch for coming out of these hearings?
I think if that vaccine supply actually does increase, he has pointed to the limited supply as the main reason why the rollout hasn't been ideal. If they can get those Johnson & Johnson shots out there, more of these public health departments and doctor's offices and fire stations and all of these places will probably be participating a lot more and getting more and more people in Massachusetts vaccinated.
All right. Well, that would be good. WBUR's Steve Brown. Steve, thanks for reporting to us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tiziana.